Welcome to Inside Property with me, Richard Blanco. In this programme, we're examining landlord and tenant relations in the private rented sector. We'll go through the letting cycle from finding a tenant or property through to managing, then ending the tenancy. Our aim is to look at tricky situations from both the landlord and tenant perspective and ask how agents can help make things run more smoothly or indeed sometimes complicate the process. Joining me in the studio are Mary Latham, West Midlands Regional Representative for the National Landlords Association and a landlord herself, Rob Nichols, Managing Director of London-based sales and letting agency Portico, Ben Reeve-Lewis from Safer Renting, and Peter Cannell, who is a private sector tenant. Now, starting off first of all by looking at the tenant find process, let me ask you first of all, Mary, now you tend to do your own viewings, don't you, and find your own tenants. Tell us a bit about that.
I use an online letting agent to source my tenants, and then I do literally everything myself.
And why is it you choose to do it yourself, Mary, and not use an agent to find tenants?
Because every time we hand the keys over to an absolute stranger, we're handing over control of our biggest investments. I need to know who that person is.
Right, okay. So you want to have that kind of face-to-face contact with the tenant and really suss out whether they're going to be right for you.
And me for them, yes, absolutely.
Okay, now, Rob, tell us a bit about what an agent can bring to the party, if you like. How do you get the best possible match between tenant, property and landlord?
Well, I think, you know, a large part of it is actually understanding the requirements that landlords have, understanding the property and how tenants might live in that property, and then actually having a full understanding of who the tenants are and getting a blend and matching them all together in hopefully working in harmony. But yeah, you know, knowing the tenant, you know, everything about their history is absolutely key to ensuring that the rental will be a successful one at the end.
Presumably you're carrying out tenant reference checks and those sorts of things, and you're quite thorough on that, I would imagine, as an agent.
Yeah, we do it slightly differently to lots of agents. We don't sub out that work. We actually have an in-house team of paralegals who do all of our referencing for us, and they have caught all kinds of rogues, with fake references and webs of lies. But that really ensures that we have a full understanding. It's much more thorough than some of the companies that provide these services do. At the end of that process, we really know whether this tenant is going to be good for the life of the tenancy.
Now, Peter, I'm interested to hear from you about your experience as a private sector tenant. I understand you're quite happy, actually, with your current landlord. Tell us how you found that property and, you know, why it's gone so well.
So my current landlord actually showed me the flat himself. We went through an online agency, which I think he took on to kind of like find the right people. He hosted loads of viewings of the property. We actually saw the flat on a Thursday evening. Got a viewing that night, about 2 hours later. Put an offer in that night, and then by the Monday we had been accepted and we were doing all the reference checks, and it was brilliant. It was so speedy and couldn't have asked for better. We only been looking for about a month, but still, this was a godsend.
And did you have any kind of induction or sort of welcome process when you actually moved into the property?
So we have a concierge on building, which kind of helped a lot with the moving in, but then after we'd been there about a week, he emailed us to ask how things were going and if anything we could like need help with from him. We had a few questions and a few things to point out, but for the most part he was just very attentive and he was brilliant.
Sounds good. You had a good experience there. Let's move on to some of the thornier issues, I guess, kind of mid-tenancy, whilst tenants are actually, in their relationship with the landlord. I wanted to ask you, Ben, about this issue of access, because it is one that comes up a lot. Now, we always recommend, of course, that landlords or agents give something like 48 hours notice to tenants, unless it's an emergency. How big an issue is access, in your experience, for tenants?
In terms of the work that I do with Safer Renting, which is basically rogue landlord enforcement work, it's one of the most common complaints that you get. And sometimes it's a control issue and the landlord wants to get in, but, you know, they see it as their right to get in. But other times people have a kind of a benign view but think that they do have a right. In actual fact, in terms of the law, Section 11 of the Landlord and Tenant Act is the only way you're going to get in. It'll allow the landlord to give 24 hours notice in writing to come in and do an inspection and a repair. But if the tenant doesn't allow that to happen, they can't just go in. They would have to go and get an injunction against the tenant, for which they would get costs. And get in that way. But, I mean, I'm a strange position as well as being an enforcement officer. I'm a tenant as well myself, and I have a high street agent, and on the odd occasion when we get a repair, they will send me a letter, a very nice, friendly letter saying, OK, we can come on Wednesday, let us know if that's OK, but don't worry if it isn't, because we've got management keys and we'll just let ourselves in. Well, in actual fact, you'd be trespassing if you did. You'd be committing a criminal offence. So it's an essential notion is that under Section 1 of the Law of Property Act, that a tenancy is a form of ownership of land, and while the tenant is the tenant, they have the right to exclude anyone that they like, including the landlord.
Absolutely. It seems to be vital, this issue of saying I can come with keys with your permission. Mary, how do you handle this issue of ensuring that the tenant has quiet enjoyment of the property or indeed exclusive possession?
One of the first things I tell my tenants is that if you decide to do so, you can change the locks. I have absolutely no issues with that, because I would never go into a tenanted property without my tenant's permission. And I explain to them that the repercussions might be that if they lock themselves out, the cost of entering with a locksmith will be down to them, and that if there's ever an emergency and I do have to bring in a locksmith, it could also be charged back to them because I haven't got access. At the end of the tenancy, I expect to get either my own lock and keys back or the equivalent number of keys to the lock. It's only happened once where a tenant has actually done that. And when I spoke to the tenant, it was because they'd had a previous issue with another landlord. But absolutely no problem. And I think telling tenants that up front builds a trust.
Yes.
And that's important to me.
Interesting kind of psychology there, because I think I'd probably be quite nervous about telling the tenant they could change the locks, because I'd feel that it was a sort of breach of trust if they did. But you're saying there's a kind of reverse psychology thing going on there where they don't.
Well, I wouldn't want them to have a key to my house, and I'm not going to have a key to theirs unless they want me to.
Okay, yes, very clear. And Peter, I'm interested to hear what your experience is. Have you ever had agents or landlords turn up to the property unannounced?
Yes. So when I left my last house in Clapham, we were kind of going through the process of viewing other properties. People were viewing our house. And then at one point, I was at home with one of the girls I lived with, and we heard someone come through the door. And we just thought, who's that coming in? One of the girls came out of their rooms, and it was actually someone showing the house around. We didn't know they were coming. We had no idea. They just turned up. They were surprised to see us there. And apparently the landlord's husband had dropped around a set of keys to that letting agent that afternoon and said, just go around. So it caught us a bit by surprise.
And what did you say to them?
What are you doing here?
Did you raise a formal complaint or anything like that?
So we complained to our landlord, had a little apology back, and then we called the letting agent, said, like, we really do need notice because we could have been hosting a dinner party, who knows. But yeah, we got a couple of apologies and then it all moved on, and then we moved out.
Okay, right. Doesn't surprise me. Rob, coming on to you, I wanted to ask about repairs. Now, just over half of landlords, according to NLA research, use agents for the management of properties. How do you make sure that staff manage the repairs process to the landlord and tenant satisfaction?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky point. And lots of agents subcontract work out, which often removes the responsibility of the repair, which can cause problems if something goes wrong. The landlord will blame the agent will blame the contractor, the tenant will blame everyone, and it's not always perfect. Where we do things differently, actually, and we identified that as a problem quite a long time ago, is we actually employ all of our contractors. They are full-time members of staff. And they are our ambassadors as well. So, if anything does go wrong or you know isn't quite right, we send them back and we foot the bill rather than having to try and persuade a third-party contractor that they need to go back and do extra work, which they don't want to do because it costs them money. So that way, actually, we have a lot of control in terms of making sure repairs are done on time when they say they will be done and to a standard that is required. We get them to take photos before and after, which are logged in the report, so we can really actually keep an eye on them, as well as making sure that you know landlords get that information and can see that the work has been done to a good standard.
Now, that sounds really thorough, Rob, doesn't it? Ben, I wanted to ask you about this because... 30%, of course, of the NLA advice line are about problems that landlords are having with agents. I wondered what feedback you get from tenants about agents and whether it's good or bad. Probably a mixture.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, I've worked for Lewisham Council for many, many years, and what I've seen in the last five or six has been an exponential growth in the amount of letting agents that there are out there. I sat down with an Excel spreadsheet in the spare couple of hours once in the one borough, and I got up to 180 agents before I just ran out of interest in the job, really. And they vary from the kind of the big boys like Foxtons and Redrain and stuff like that down to the small independents. And the thing with the small independents, I find, is that they could be very, very bad. They could be real chancers and gangsters sometimes, but also they can be the best source of a personal service. There's one agent particularly that I know lives down in Taunton, and she deliberately keeps it small so she can know her tenants and her landlords. She's never going to be a millionaire, but she runs a really, really good service. It's like a family service. And where I live down in East Dulwich, there's another one down there who's just opened another branch, and she's absolutely brilliant. But, you know, for every one of those, there are other people that you've really got to do your research on. I think if you're going to be a landlord or a tenant, and I suppose I would say this as an enforcement officer, I would do checks, even if it's just Google checks, and find out if there's anything about people before you actually go in there. And it has to be said, you can get a bad individual agent in an otherwise good company and a good individual agent in someone who the enforcement teams are actually working with. It's a real mixed bag, really.
What about the issue of rent increases, Ben? Because we often hear that landlords are not so bothered about increasing the rent whilst the tenant stays in the property, but agents are more interested in churn, some people argue.
Yeah, a friend of mine called Serena Burt, who runs the excellent award-winning housing blog called HMO Landlady, who's really, really brilliant, and she said to me the other day that she thinks that the interests of landlords and agents are often diametrically opposed to each other, that landlords will want stable, good tenants who last a long time, whereas an agent will, just by sheer dint of the fact of their business model, makes their money from recruiting new people all the time and charging fees. And sometimes you can see that the rents are going up in an area because the agents are telling the landlords that they can get that extra money. Again, speaking outside of the enforcement world and just as a tenant myself, our landlords haven't been like that. Our rent is actually about £300 to £400 less than the flat above ours, which is a mirror image of it. Because we've been there a few years, they're happy to have us there, and we just kind of work together on the rent increases. But I have to say, in those terms, we've had to keep, both us and the landlord, with respect to Rob, have had to keep the agents at arm's length in order to do that.
Okay, well, you're listening to Inside Property with me, Richard Blanco. I'm discussing landlord and tenant relations with my four guests, Mary Latham, West Midlands Regional Representative for the National Landlords Association, Rob Nichols, who's Managing Director of London-based sales and lettings agency Portico, Ben Reeve-Lewis from Safer Renting, and Peter Cannell, who is a private sector tenant. Now, turning to other aspects of the relationship mid-tenancy, I wanted to ask you, Mary, about cleaning and tidiness, because this can be a bugbear for me. And I hear that you've been involved in a project that actually provides cleaning materials to tenants. Is that right?
Yes, renters cleaning packs.
Oh, tell us a bit about it.
What it says on the tin, it's a pack which goes out at £35, which has all of the products that's needed to clean all of the usual things that tenants need to clean, and my own instructions on how to clean just about anything and everything, because I'm the best scrubber in the business. I've always cleaned my own properties, and there are quick ways of doing things. It doesn't have to be hard work. Even when they're in a real mess, it doesn't have to be a real grind. But as you know, most of the issues with deposit protection are about cleaning. So enabling tenants to buy a pack and do the cleaning with all of the instructions gets their deposit back and gives the landlord back what they want.
And you couch it in that way for tenants, do you, Mary, to try and encourage them to maintain the property?
Say that again, I'm sorry?
You sort of couch it in those terms, do you? Because sometimes I will get quite untidy tenants and I sort of feel where they have the right to be untidy if they want to be, but then part of me thinks that the property is going to have more wear and tear, and I always struggle over what to say and how to handle that.
So you're talking about existing tenants?
Yes, that's right, yes.
One of my favourite things landlords do is they go in and tenants don't seem to like hanging clothes in wardrobes, particularly maybe younger tenants. So they find the floors are covered in their clothes. And I always say to them, that's brilliant. Because when they go, they'll take their clothes and there'll be no wear and tear on the carpet.
Yes, that's one way of looking
at it. People have lifestyle. You have to just let them live their lifestyle, providing there are no health and safety or structural issues. Let them get on with it. It's what they give back at the end of the tenancy. That's the only thing we should be concerned about.
Well, let me turn to Peter on this. Now, Peter, some landlords complain that, you know, tenants just don't look after the property as well as they did when they lived there, that kind of thing. Why is it that sometimes tenants, you know, let properties get into a, you know, very untidy state?
I think that with at least tenancy in London, they tend to be a year long. People kind of want to move, then they're not very stable. They want to travel to different areas, live with different people. Their lifestyle might change. And if you're living there for a year, there's almost that kind of disconnect with the properties. It's not yours. You're there for a year, then you're moving on. Whereas I think, especially as Mary said, with younger people, they tend to be sometimes a little messier than older people. And if you're there for a longer time, I think you feel more connected to the property. You feel like it's yours. You can do what you like with it. You can make it your home. And at that point, I think 2 years onwards, and if you've got a good relationship with your landlord, you really want to look after it from there to for their benefit, really.
Okay, so there might be a sort of transient factor there, I guess. I wanted to ask you about this, Rob, because one of the issues that comes with affordability, particularly in London, is that people start letting out living rooms or moving other people in. Is that an issue you come up against a lot? And how would you handle that as an agent?
Yeah, it's an area that's that can be extremely tricky with the advent of HMO licensing and certain councils taking on the additional and selective licensing. You know, if you have a couple that moves in, one of the partners, you've all of a sudden you're into sort of an ordinary HMO territory, and that, you know, the regulations that come with that means that actually it's a cost to the landlord to actually get that property licensed. Not that that would be a mandatory license in that scenario, but there are things that they have to do to actually be compliant. Tenants don't often understand that. They won't care because they'll just see it as sharing the rent. And I think in instances where that does happen, you know, our view is actually to take a fairly soft approach to start with. When it's discovered, we'll actually go to the tenants, explain, you know, what problems they might be causing for the landlord. And actually we'll work with them to try and move them from that property into a property that is suitable for them. But if they refuse to move, you know, it can be a tricky situation. You end up either having to you know, accept that tenant as a permitted occupier, and it can get a bit tricky. And ultimately, if it doesn't work to do the soft approach, then you have to go more legal and serve notice and kick them out.
Yes, and this issue of whether or not to go down the legal route, I guess, comes into play as well with arrears. 35% of landlords, according to NLA research, have arrears at the moment, averaging something like £1,600. Ben, do you think landlords are often too quick to kind of go down the legal route?
Decent landlords, I would say, are often too slow. I mean, it was an odd thing for someone like me to say. you'll talk to people that, you know, you get a problem where everything's flaring up and you've got an incident going on, and then I'll talk to the landlord and they'll say, well, they owe me £6,000. And I said, well, how did you let it get this far in the first place? Because you're not likely to get it back. And they said, well, I just gave them the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, my argument is, well, don't, really. I mean, one of the big problems you get is where a landlord is going to sell a property and they serve a Section 21 notice on the tenant who says, I'll sort it. And then they don't. And they don't take it any further. And then what happens is they're ready to exchange contracts. The tenant is still there. And then the tenant rings the council and the council say, well, but you haven't got possession of the property yet. And the whole thing goes really, really bad. And my advice to tenants who are going to, sorry, landlords who are going to sell, is go the full distance. It's going to cost you more, but you're going to avoid these things happening further down the line. I would not. If you're a housing association or a council, there's a procedure that you would follow and you're obliged to follow that. It's called the pre-action protocol, but a private landlord isn't obliged to do that. And I would say that if someone is starting to slide into arrears, by all means talk to them. As Rob said, you know, you have a kind of a personal approach to it. But, you know, be aware that if you let it slide one more month, it's probably going to take you 5-6 months to get them out.
Well, organisations like Shelter argue for a more proactive relationship between local authorities and tenants. So local authorities should provide more advice, they say, and also they're in favour of proactive inspection of properties by local authorities. Do you think that local authorities should be more proactive in supporting tenants or inspecting landlords?
Maybe in an ideal world, but we live in a world where all of these services have been cut. There are many councils now, even in London, where there is no service at all whatsoever if you're harassed or illegally evicted. So you can have your locks changed and there's no one to get you back in. And this is Safer Renting, the initiative that I'm currently building with Cambridge House Law Centre, is basically selling back in those services to local authorities because they don't have them anymore. So, and the notion of that there might be an army of people to get out there and do those inspections and educate is fantastic. But in the real world, the world of the local authority public service in housing terms is like a Moscow department store window in 1980. Everything's in the window, there's nothing in the shop.
Right, it's okay. Now, Mary, you've had a number of situations where tenants have been in arrears. What's been your approach?
Always to speak to them. As soon, I agree with Ben, I hear landlords saying, oh, I'm owed months of rents and so on. But the minute they miss a rent payment, I contact them and say to them, you know, let's talk, let's see what's going on. I've got one particular tenant who lost his job, and admitted he couldn't pay. And we talked it through. He was very proactive in trying to get some help from the local authority, which he did, but it didn't meet the full rent. Ultimately, he got another job, and I was very patient with him because they are very good tenants, and keeping a good tenant is always my aim. And he is now currently paying me a few hundred pounds over his monthly rent, and he will have caught up probably by the spring with the arrears, which did build up because it took him a while. But in the end, they're but for fortune, and he'd been a good tenant for a long time. And I'm probably one of the few OCD landlords that's got over 40 years of books, of accounts. And I can tell you the thing that costs landlords the most is turning tenancies. So keeping a good tenant, even when they're struggling for a while, is always the best way forward.
Fantastic, good advice there. And Rob, is this an area where the agent can provide useful distance when the tenant goes into arrears and perhaps the landlord might, you know, not respond in the most appropriate way?
Well, yes and no. I think agents, if they're good agents, can assist in every step of the way, whether it's having that distance to have awkward conversations about rental values. And if the landlord and tenant are almost like friends, it's a very difficult conversation to have. But, you know, I can understand that actually in some cases where the agent is corrupt or just out to make a quick buck, then they can actually get in the way and be trying to make a quick buck rather than looking after the tenant and the landlord's best interests. And at the end of the day, agents provide a service to both, you know, the landlord primarily and the tenant. And if they're not providing that service, not you know, doing their duty of care, then it's time to get a new agent.
Yes, it's in your interest, obviously, to keep the landlord as a customer, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, you mentioned this issue of landlords being friendly with tenants. Ben, I know you're quite wary of landlords being too friendly, and you've seen issues before where perhaps the landlords let their own home and the situation's got a bit out of hand. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, when you're mediating between landlord and tenant disputes, some of the most acrimonious ones are where the situation is that the landlord and the tenant were friendly with each other and then it fell out. It's a personal thing. And you also see small landlords having the hardest time when the property they're renting out used to be the family home, because as Mary said, you've got issues with cleanliness, just the way they use it. Portfolio landlords don't have that connection. You know, it's a business thing that people will use it in the way that they do. But if you're an HMO landlord, you have to be more hands-on. The whole thing falls apart in the worst scenarios when you get five complete strangers in a property, the landlord throws in a gas card, an electric key, and says, get on with it, and then power struggles come about. You have to be hands-on if you're that kind of landlord. If you're a normal residential person, then, I mean, what I love about my landlords is I've never met them. They just leave me alone. I pay the rent, and that's it. And that's fantastic. I don't want them messing about in my life. I'm sure they're lovely people, but you know.
Well, I want to come on to some kind of closing thoughts from the rest of you now. So, Pete, how ideally do you want your landlord or agent to treat you as a tenant?
Well, my landlord I have right now is perfect. He is there when we need him for something, and otherwise he checks in every now and then to see how we are, to see if there's anything we need. He's very attentive, and he's happy for us to take charge of things because it's where we live. It's our flat. He said, you do what you need to do. If you want to change something, let me know. If something needs fixing, let me know. Have it fixed and I'll pay for it. And that's the perfect relationship, I think. We know he's there, but like you said, we never see him. So yeah. It's perfect.
That's, yes, a good example of quiet enjoyment, isn't it? And I'm pleased to hear you having such a positive relationship with your landlord. Now, Mary, I always think that my relationship with my tenants as a landlord is such a key part of the success of my business. Why is this relationship between the landlord and tenants so important?
Well, it's like any relationship. If you're on good terms, it's a lot easier to sort out problems. If there's already an uncomfortable situation between you, problems can often grow. But to me, it's all about respect. I just believe that even when they don't treat me with the respect that I would like, I always treat them and their homes with respect. And it most of the time, that works. But just on a point that was made there earlier, rule number one of being a landlord, never let to friends of friends or relatives. You can be friendly, but not friends.
Okay, very good piece of advice there, Mary. Thank you. And Rob, I wanted to ask you finally, what's the key to success for landlords and tenants when working with agents, would you say?
I think it comes down to communication. You know, everything that everyone said have been very sensible ways to solve problems. And that starts with communication. In, you know, Mary's case where the tenant lost their job, if you went in hard on that person, it would definitely go bad, and would be a very long process and acrimonious and not very pleasant for anyone. But actually, you know, understanding their situation and understanding how they got into that situation, and then communicating with everyone in the group really means that you can you know, get the best result for everyone, and everyone should hopefully be happy.
Absolutely. So good, positive, clear communication goes a long way. Yes. Well, we've come to the end of the programme. I'd like to thank my guests, Mary Latham, West Midlands Regional Representative for the National Landlords Association, Rob Nichols, Managing Director of London-based sales and lettings agency Portico, Ben Reeve-Lewis from Safer Renting, and Peter Cannell, who is a private sector tenant. And thank you to you for listening. Inside Property is produced in collaboration with the National Landlords Association.